I'm fine.
She says, no, you're not. She says, you're as wise as she. And I felt fine. And I sat there for about 15 minutes and I started having chest pains. So she put me in the car and took me to the local hospital, which my doctor was affiliated with. They kept me overnight, and they said they found nothing wrong with my heart. They sent me home. I was home for about a week, and I ended up back in the hospital with the same thing, with severe chest pains this time. Well, they went ahead and started doing additional tests. And while they was doing these tests, they had found a large hiatal hernia that was behind my heart, pushing out of my heart, causing the chest pain. Well, they sent me up to a specialist in Tulsa, Oklahoma, because they considered it to be a pretty severe surgery, removing that from behind my heart. But during the additional test that they were doing this, they found a tumor, a large tumor, in my esophagus. The doctor came out and he showed my wife and I the x-rays and he said, here's the tumor. We saw the tumor on the x-rays. He said, there's some extenuating circumstances to this, and he said, I am going to send you over to the University of Oklahoma for additional tests, because he said, I want to be sure of it. So he sent me over to the University of Oklahoma. They took x-rays over there. They couldn't find no tumor. Came back to this doctor, and he says, I know, I see it there. It's on the x-rays. We're still going to go into surgery. He said, for some reason or another, it's not showing up over at the University of Oklahoma. So he scheduled the surgery, put me in surgery. Surgery was supposed to take about 45 minutes. It ended up taking, I think my wife said, around 3.5 hours or 4 hours, which she was going absolutely nuts. I mean, I think she was probably bouncing off the walls because nobody would tell her anything. Well, we came back, and the doctor came out, and Joyce had asked him. He says, he's fine. He's doing great. And she said, well, what about the tumor? He dropped his head, and she told me, and looked at the ground, what tumor? Before we did this, before I went to Oklahoma, went to church on Sunday night, went to the altar, had the pastor call the elders together. The elders prayed over me at that time. And this is what Jesus tells us to do if we have a problem. Take it to our church leader. Have the elders come and pray over us. And we will be healed. And I was. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to make this one as quiet as long. My wife taught special children at our church on Sunday night. She had a stroke. Paralyzed the right side of her face. She was in the class of special children, sitting in church and praise and worship service on Sunday night again. Lord told me, says, good pastor, had him bring Joyce to the front. Her tear ducts wouldn't work on her right side. I mean, her face was drooping, no smile, no nothing. Pastor's wife went back and brought her to the front of the church again, had the elders pray over her immediately. Tears started running down the side of her face that actually soaked her blouse. Her smile came back. She went back to the doctor a couple days later, and the doctor says, which was a Christian doctor, and he says, praise God, that's the only thing that did it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. We're blessed to have you, sir.
Thank you.
Well, as you know, without him we can do nothing. With him, we can do all things as he strengthens us. Philippians 4:13. I crying out to the Lord this morning, and I'm going to be taking a little walk with you through 1 Corinthians chapter 2. St. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's trying to make them aware that there's more to them than what they realize or what they understand. And as God would have it, the Holy Spirit is trying to mature his people. And he's trying definitely to make us one. Now, I know the efforts of the ecumenical movement. I was part of that. And I can remember seeing people grudgingly connecting to one another. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was a forced issue. It was a flesh issue. Now, I never thought of us as eggs before until a friend of ours down in Alabama wrote a book. And in their experience, they, they adopted three beautiful children from Russia. And the name of the book is Two Eggs, Three Yolks. Well, obviously this morning as I was praying with someone, I saw the egg yolks and I saw them in a bowl. And I heard, I'm going to make an omelet. That's pretty tough. Because I don't mix well sometimes. How many have a problem sometimes with mixing? Okay. Why? Because we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of being exposed. We're afraid of getting busted. I've got news for you. Since Al and Jan became a part of this group, by remote control, namely telephone, we've been connecting. And we kind of adopted them because of our love for these three beautiful children that the Lord gave them. Now, it's all Mary Ann's fault because they happen to be related to Mary Ann. Okay? But we spent a lot of time asking God why and how, and he doesn't always answer us. So, sir, we don't know why you came, but we know why God had intended. And so we're blessed that you're here, and let it be for God's glory. Now in chapter 2, verse 6, in the NIV it says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age." Are we still in that age? Yes, we are. Or of the rulers of this age. Who are the rulers of this age? Principalities and powers in the heavenly realms, pushing physical buttons and emotional buttons on men and women, whether they know God or not. Okay? That's the bottom line. Who are coming to nothing. So the wisdom of this age and the rulers of this age are coming to what? So CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox are all going to be ending up with what? Zero ratings. I wonder who's going to get the ratings. How about the church? When she rises in authority, with healing in her wings, when every person is fully satisfied with the fullness of Christ, fully anointed of the Holy Ghost, doing the signs and wonders that were happening through Christ himself, when the common thing of the day was, how many did you resurrect this week? Look at your neighbor and say, are you ready for resurrection to work through you and to work through me So it becomes common knowledge that we are part of the resurrection. Amen. You see, the rulers of this age are going to be taught by us. The rulers of this age are going to be taught by the church. Now, at this time, the church is everything but united. But did you ever watch what happens when a woman decides she's going to make a very fancy cake and she puts 3 or 4 eggs in a bowl and she turns the mixer on? How long is that selfish attitude going to stay in that one yolk? And she turns it on to high. Is the Holy Ghost a good mixer? So get ready to bust it. And you're going to be so interwoven into one another that you won't be able to separate yourself. That's what I believe is about to take place in the kingdom of God, in His saints. There's going to be such a harmony, such a love flow, that you won't be able to go without it. And when that harmony and that love flow is so strong and so anointed of the Father, that those who walk near you will be healed. You'll be going into the average store to pick up a dozen of whatever, could be eggs, and you might remind yourself that you're not separate anymore. That you're part of the whole. So if you can visualize a gorgeous omelet in the oven, I believe that'll give you a picture of your future. Now, when the kingdoms of this age and the rulers of this age get to see the fullness of Christ in a body of believers, it's going to shake some dust. You're going to make news. Verse 7. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, that God destined for our glory before time began. So the schedule is with God, and He will bring it about on the day appointed. None of the rulers of this age understood it. Did you get that? Yeah. They're still wondering. And they haven't got a clue. Because you know why? Jesus isn't finished yet. And we learned that again today. Thank you, John. If they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now I want to kind of shift things around for a moment. Jerry, God allowed a breakdown in your truck, of all places in Massachusetts. Yeah. Yeah, where all the snow is. Why does God choose to do something absolutely unpredictable in order to have a connection made in the realm of the Spirit that could only be done by God? See, I can remember when Al and Jan came over, which was, what, a year and a half ago? And a few weeks ago, they sent us a card. And in our conversations in the past few months, I quote Jan in saying, I can't understand, she says, why God did it this way. But she says, you know, you guys have been a big help. You say, well, how have I been a big help to Jan and Al and the three Russian children? through your prayers, through your intercession, through your giving of one another, to be able to keep the ministry going. That's how it works. They listen to the message on the internet, and from what I gather, they take notes, and they're growing. You say, we're having an effect on somebody in Alabama? Yes, you are. You're touching people in different parts of the country. And I understand different parts of the world. You know, the first time that I... and this isn't boasting now. This is just God. I'm going to back you up for a moment. To the middle of 1980s. And my brother and his wife had met a gentleman that I wanted them to meet who was a spiritual father for me from Washington State, Spokane, Washington to be exact. And he was going to be up in Vermont. And I called my brother and I said, my brother lives in Canada at the time. And I said, would you meet me in Hartford, Vermont? This gentleman's going to be there. He's going to be there for such and such a time slot, etc. And his daughter heard about it, and she was actually going through a very hard time, just having a brand new baby. The little boy was about a year and a half, 2 years old. So she drove 200 and something miles to her dad's, and then joined her dad and her mom driving down into Vermont to come to that one night. The anointing of God was so intense that night that there was a word of knowledge that was given to the little boy, year and a half old. Several days later, she lives in Toronto. I'm sorry, Ottawa, outside of the city. She was sitting down at her supper table with her dad, I mean with her child and the child's dad. And there was a word that was spoken. And the little boy responded, I'm a son of God. I spoke to the mother last night. That son of God is graduating college and just took one of the final tests and got a passing mark. That son of God is being touched because of you. Why am I telling you this? Because you're more than you realize. You're more effective, and you're touching people that you have no clue of. About 3 years ago, that same son of God was at his aunt's house in Sherbrooke, and I believe it was a Christmas morning, and he asked if he could sit in mom's car. And come to find out, he was listening to one of the messages on the internet. Christmas morning, because he needed to hear something that God had prepared through us to feed to him. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm trying to show you that the omelet's already been forming, and it's multifaceted. The omelet that you and I are is going to touch many. That's why the tests are great. That's why the oven is hot. Verse 8 again. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the enemy understood while you are going through the fire that you're going to come out greater, he would never touch you to begin with. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the baptism of fire that's happening in many of your lives. And they're hard to go through. They're intended of God to get you what? Yeah, to rise you higher. Did you ever watch an omelet or a cake in the oven and somebody opens the door and it goes down to nothing? Don't pull it out early.
If you do, you ruin it. Amen? You can't even enjoy the cake if it's half-cooked. The same thing with bread. The same thing with an omelet. If it's all mushy inside, you're going to say, that's all watery. I don't like it. How many have ever tasted quiche that's well done? Awesome. And I'm using that as a way of getting you to see that you're not going to get there on your own. You're not going to be a separate egg in your own little carton thinking you're doing it great. Verse 9. However it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. See, your abilities to conceive, if you take 2,000 years ago and you and I put ourselves into the areas of Israel, let's say you lived in the next town next to Bethlehem, would you choose what God chose for His baby boy? Never. Was Jesus well hidden? Yeah, He was very well hidden. Nobody had a clue He was the King, except the ones that God decided. We're going to send some shepherds over there. They can worship Him because they haven't got a second agenda. The king of the country was deceived by other kings from different countries. Why? Because he had a terrible agenda. See, those who are in your life for a season, they're there for in your life to build you up, to make you what you ought to be, and then when their season is done, they'll keep on going. Those that are intended to be in that same pot with you are going to be intending to be in the fire with you as they support you to mature and become what you've been called to become. So it's no accident that you're here. Verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. So revelation comes by what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only one that has the full knowledge of the plan that the Father has for this omelet and for you individually. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except a man's spirit within him? A man's spirit can be alive or dead, depending on that man or that woman's choices. Some are born again and their spirit is infused with the power of God. Some are born of the flesh. Their spirit is in submission to their soul, meaning they live a life in the levels of flesh, and that's as far as they go, and the levels of the soul. But the spiritual man, he's different. He's totally, completely different because he doesn't have the, let's say, the questions that are ongoing in the man of flesh. Because now he's been infused with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit begins to bring things into light. And as they do, then the man of God begins to question, which was part of your vision. And the questions finally get answered by the same Holy Ghost who began the work to begin with. Amen? It says, but God reveals it to us by His Spirit. See, I've heard many, many times the quote of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. And they shut it off right there. But I'm telling you today that the same scripture says, but God, verse 10, but God has revealed it to me by His Spirit. But God has revealed it to me by... Look at your neighbor. Say, but God has revealed it to me by His Spirit. And He's not done yet. He's got more revelations coming. You see, you say, well, why confess this? Because it's going to take the unbelief and the fear tactics for a ride. How many of you have ever had fear tactics operating in their mind? Thank you. See, when you declare Romans 10, 9 and 10, with your mouth, and you believe with your heart, and you declare it openly, then there's an activation in the spirit realm. And as you confess it, it becomes what? It becomes real and fact. So, God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, when you're united with the Spirit of God, what happens? There's nothing impossible with you. Nothing in the realm of the Spirit is impossible to be revealed to you. How many of you have ever had a dream that was real weird? You had one last night. Okay, good. You know what? Dreams and visions are from God. But they're only discernible by the Spirit of God. If you try to put your flesh in there, you're going to what? Thank you. I like that word. Because flesh has one pattern. Failure. The Spirit of God inside of you and I has the ability to reveal all the things that He wants you to know. So if you want to know what happened when you have a dream, go back to the Holy Spirit. Knock on His door. Holy Spirit, You're the revelator. Amen? Holy Spirit, You're the one that's going to make this clear to me. I can remember several months back, there was a dream that came. And all I remember was a little gist of it. Just a little piece. And I said, oh my God, Lord, I missed it. I'm blaming myself. I missed it. I should have got up in the middle of the night. I should have wrote it down. I don't remember nothing except. And I remembered a little piece. So I wrote down the little piece I remembered. 2 or 3 days later, I'm in the middle of a very busy thing, whatever it was, and all of a sudden, plop, a thought comes in. I wasn't thinking about the dream, but immediately when that thought came in, it was like 2 and 2 equals... Oh my God. So I stopped what I was doing. I wrote down what I was now hearing in my head because I knew I couldn't have thought of it. I tried. That was the solution to the dream. 2 nights ago, I had a dream. In the dream, all I remembered from it, because I don't drive myself cuckoo like I used to. And I don't blame myself like I used to. Because you know what? What's important, He'll bring back. What's important to you by the Spirit of God, He's not going to forget. He has an excellent memory. He really does. So He brought back to me the number. And when I looked up the number, I said, oh my God, this is awesome. Okay? Yesterday morning, I was at the leaders' meeting up in South Hadley. And I've got this dream that's still in my head, you know, because obviously that I wrote it down. I wrote down what it meant, etc. And I was very happy. I don't remember all the rest of the dream, but I remember what God meant. So Pastor Dale comes up to me 3/4 of the way through the meeting, and he says, we have a shofar up there. You got to go blow the shofar. And I'm thinking, okay, God, okay. And I've got this dream still in my head. So, the Lord brings over that shofar, and the Lord had me blow it, and the anointing came, and the rest is history. And as soon as I got done with the shofar, I handed it back to the pastor, and the Lord said, now, tell him about your revelatory dream. So I gave him the revelatory dream. I gave him what it meant, and it touched the body of Christ, especially one person who was having a major hard time. Why? That's right. That person was broken. That person had just been falsely accused, and that particular word gave that person hope. And it recreated that person's, let's say, love affair with God in spite of being badly treated. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand. That we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. Not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Verse 14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to man's judgment. Why? Because God sees the man's heart. God sees the woman's heart. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When you and I are truly united as God has designed, there will be nothing impossible in the revelatory realm to the Holy Spirit to lift you up out of any hardship and to strengthen you when you're having a hard time. You know, right now we're like little tiny babies trying to walk at 7 or 8 months. And you know what? We're holding on to the chair, we're holding on to the table, and we're putting one foot in front of the other, and then we flop. That's just about where we are as a body of believers. But you know what? We're growing up. And you know something? With enough chairs and enough tables, we can make it. You understand? I'm trying to show you that we're not going to do it alone. You're not going to be able to do it alone. So look at your neighbor and say, I need you big time. I need the Spirit of God in you. Big time. Amen. You see, when you are dependent on one another and interdependency, what happens to pride? Yeah, it goes for a ride. It goes for a major ride. Interdependency takes pride for a ride. All right? I heard something that I wanted to give to you. And I didn't expect to go there. And how many have ever seen somebody start falling apart? And you wish you could just grab them and lift them up, but you can't. The Lord gives grace and love visible in Christ. And pride makes everybody sick except the one. Or pride in a person makes everybody sick except the one who's got the pride. They're not aware of it. They're blind to it. And so when you and I are helping each other, holding on to whatever piece of furniture that God provides for you to keep on going, that pride begins to fall away. And you say, well, you know, I haven't got the answer yet. But when I go to the Lord and I go to the Lord's people and I call for prayer or I submit to the Lord or I'm going to expose my weakness, because it comes in different ways, then the Holy Spirit begins a work of rebuilding us. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make spiritual men and women out of us. And interdependency will definitely take pride for a ride. Interdependency, having that knowing. And in fact, that was one of the comments that your cousin made to me on the phone. She says, I don't know why, she says, you're in my life, except I know I'm bugging you. And so then she calls me a few days later and she says, you know, I made notes. She says, I didn't tell you, but I made notes. She says, some of this stuff is not easy to digest. I said, no, but is it working? Yeah, it's working. I don't like it, but it's working. And so, you see, humbling ourselves is not comfortable. But being lifted up by the Spirit of God is wonderful. Would you stand, please? Lift your hands to Him. Father, I release grace to these as they are being intermingled by your Holy Ghost, that they are being made one by your power, not by the power of flesh, but by the power of the Holy Spirit in them. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, don't stop the wonderful work that you're doing, because you are doing a mighty work. And we're excited about the saints that are being delivered and set free, and those that are being prepared, even today. Say, my children, my grandchildren, all my friends, and all my relatives are going to taste of the goodness of God because of the Holy Ghost in me. He will touch them. He will resurrect them on the day appointed. For the glory of our God, in Jesus' name. You may be